Hey, builders, welcome to another episode of the People of Growth podcast. I'm your host again, Nate Elliott. Today we have an interesting guest, Leslie Hale. Leslie is an astrologer with Keen.com. She is super interesting. This podcast, I think I said this a few podcasts back. I had no idea what to expect. I have very little knowledge about astrology, no idea how it works, no idea really about it at all. So I was excited to learn from Leslie about what she does and how she's came to do what she does in her life. And it was super eye-opening. There were some really cool stories she told. Just how she got into it was really inspiring to me. So I think you're all going to enjoy this interview. Let's jump right into it. Leslie, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you. If we could just start off, I would love to have you tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Leslie Hale, and I'm an astrologer on Keen.com.
Awesome. So what does your day-to-day work look like?
My day-to-day work looks like a lot of phone calls and talking to people about their life and what's going on and their love life in particular and what's going to be happening in the future, especially with the world the way it is right now, COVID, yeah, everything else. And it's just full of a lot of calls and a lot of sometimes excitement, sometimes sadness, depending on the conversation, you know, so it's a really interesting time to be an astrologer.
Yeah. So I think of, like, when I think of astrology, and I think a lot of the listeners of our show, I think are right around like college age. And if they think of astrology, they might think like the newspaper column or something like that.
Right.
How would you, I guess, explain astrology to somebody that's not really familiar with it?
Astrology is the study, of course, of the planets and the stars. It's also a study of people, though, because everybody was born with a natal chart. And this is based on your day of birth, your time of birth, and your place of birth. Based on that, the planets were in a certain pattern that reflect the time, the moment you were born, and the transiting planets, as they move through the sky, make aspects, or we could say make angles to the planets in your natal chart. And that pretty much, looking at that, it's very complicated, but that tells us what's pretty much going on in your life, what you can look forward to. We can look back at the past, we can look forward, or we can look at the present, depending on, you know, what your interest is. Most people, you know, have questions. Most of the time, by the time someone decides to call me, they have a very pressing question that, you know, they're hoping to get an answer to.
Totally. So how did you find yourself working in the world of astrology?
That is a long story. So we can go back to childhood.
Okay.
Of course, I was always interested in things other people weren't interested in, metaphysics, psychics. I got my first psychic reading at 17, and I guess you could say from that point on, I was hooked. Kind of discovered, oh, there's astrology, and that's a whole different field. So I started studying it. I probably started as a kid, really, you know, 13, mm-hmm. 14, not too seriously. At 17, I became really interested in it. I do remember that. And actually, I took some courses in college, and I thought, you know, this is just too complicated for me. I'm never going to be able to grasp it. So I sort of dropped out. I went into journalism. I became a reporter for a long time, went into the advertising field. And in my 20s, I met my teacher. And I noticed that she could read about just about anything. And she was always right. And so she began basically teaching me astrology. And that went on for quite a few years. And then from there, I just began to study on my own. And it's, you know, it's a lot of study, and it's a lot of anybody who is going to become a serious astrologer, you need a teacher. And you know, thank goodness one came to me. I didn't have to go seeking one. So from there, you know, I just began to study and to learn. And I was a journalist for a while, and I was selling advertising for a while, and public relations, that kind of thing. And probably around the late 90s, I felt like I knew enough to maybe start reading some charts, which I did. People would come to my home every now and then, and I would read their chart. And somewhere around 2001 or 2002, I decided I found Keem through a friend of mine, Keem.com, and I decided to give it a try. I had a advertising contract that had expired, and I thought, well, I'm gonna give this a try. I put so much time into it, it probably won't work out, but what the heck? If they call, I'll do it. And the phone started ringing, and that's how it really all got started.
Man, I have so many questions. I love to hear people's stories and to hear about, I don't know, everyone's path is so unique. And so I really appreciate you sharing that with me. I want to talk a little bit about the beginning of your career where you thought, you know what, this is too complicated for me and I'll be a journalist instead.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit more about why you felt like you needed to do something different or why you pursued journalism and didn't pursue what turned out to be your career later?
Well, we've got to go back to the 70s. And of course, there were astrologers. There have always been astrologers going back, you know, thousands of years. There weren't maybe as many at that time. And to be perfectly honest, I never dreamed that I would ever really be a reader. I just was interested in it. Of course, like everybody else, I wanted to know what was going to happen in my own life.
Yep.
So, you know, that sort of drives it. And I was going to major in journalism anyway. I went into broadcasting. I loved radio. So that was sort of the plan anyway. And it would be years on down the road before I ever really imagined myself a reader. And when I took the course in college, well, it's all about angles and it's about numbers. And I just felt like I really couldn't grasp that. I didn't think I could ever do it. It just seemed so complex and complicated, which it is. And I kind of went with that and picked it up again in my 20s. We had metaphysical groups that were meeting and I met a lot of different people. Of course, that was the beginning of the New Age movement in the 80s. And so I found myself in that and I sort of got caught up in it again. And fortunately, shortly after that, I met my teacher and she began to really explain to me how it works on a one-on-one basis. And that's how I started to really move forward with it. It would still be years before I would actually become a reader. And I still never envisioned myself a reader at that point, but eventually I did.
Super interesting. So I'm always thinking of this when I ask these questions and I hear responses, always thinking of it through the lens of, okay, if I'm a listener, what lessons can I pull out of this? And I think that the thing that's two things that struck me about what you just said are once you found kind of a community or a group of people that you could dive into it together with, that's when you really started to, I guess, kind of start to understand it and dig into it and, I mean, get a grasp on it. And then the other thing that struck me was you said it took you years and years and years. And I was just talking on another podcast this morning about how it's not overnight. And I think that that's such a, I don't know, it's something that's really impressive to me that you didn't just decide in college, like, yeah, I'm going to be a reader. And then you did it. No, it took years and years and it took a lot of study and a lot of time. And now here you are, but there's so much in between and so much lead up. And I think that for young people that maybe they're in college or they're fresh out and they're trying to figure out, okay, how can I do what I want to do? There's so much pressure to do it fast. You know, if you're going
right.
to do X, then you need to do X right after school. And that's not usually how it works. And it's not also super possible for most things.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, sometimes life throws you some curveballs. Yeah. I really thought I would be a journalist forever. I thought I would work in radio forever. And for a while I did. And then things started changing in the world. And I really didn't ever think I would be a reader. Maybe in the late 90s, I thought, oh, well, maybe I can do this sort of part-time. And then I found Keem.com and decided, well, I'm just going to give it a try and see what happens. And sometimes life surprises you too. And you end up on a path that you're supposed to be on, but you really maybe didn't know that in college.
Yep, totally. Well, that was really enlightening for me. I also read in researching your background a little bit that you came across some, I think, some men that worked in oil, in the oil business.
Yeah,
how did that play into your story?
Well, I had a friend who was a professional psychic. I had known her for 30 years or more. And she read for some men who were in Texas in the oil business. And one day she called me up and said, I'm kind of stumped. Why don't you try reading for them? And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a try. And so they started calling me, and I could look at their chart and tell them, you know, when it looked like they were really going to be successful. And they were wildcatters, and the calls increased, and pretty soon they were calling me every month. And one day they said, look, we want to send you some money for this. And I said, oh, that's okay. You don't have to send any money. But lo and behold, a check came in the mail. And that's sort of how really it was born.
That's incredible. It's so interesting to me. I feel like opportunity, it shows itself in really unexpected places a lot of times. And at least from the outside of this story, I think like the combination of astrology and the oil business, I never would have put those two things together.
I know.
It's so cool how that worked out for you, because like you said, like who would have known? So
exactly.
Really, really interesting. Let's take a little left turn here. I saw in some research that you talked about three leadership lessons. Mm-hmm. I think leadership is something that is super applicable to everyone's life, whether they're in a true like management position of leadership or anything like that, or if they're just they have friends or they have family that they're around, like leadership is everywhere. So could you share those three leadership lessons with us?
Well, I would say the first leadership lesson is don't give up. And no matter how bad things look, and sometimes things can look pretty bad, or it can look like you're going to fail. And sometimes you do fail. Nobody starts out at 100%. And the first thing that I would say that you got to have in leadership or to be in any kind of leadership is persistence. And the next thing is positivity. A lot of people will try to kill your dream because they don't believe in it.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to try to keep yourself as upbeat and positive as you can. And if somebody is trying to say you can't do this, I think sometimes it might be good to listen to their argument or listen to what they have to say to an extent. But that doesn't mean you have to take it in and believe it.
Totally. So don't give up and be positive.
Exactly.
One of the things that you said is don't be afraid to push an idea that you believe in. Could you expound on that a little bit? Because that's really interesting to me. I think for a lot of people, like one of the most impossible questions is when do I give up because it's not working? Like when is this idea I tried and I failed? Or when is it I just got to keep pushing through? There's that old saying, like don't stop 6 feet short of gold. But at some point you have to stop. Or you just do it until you die. But you might never hit gold, or you might. How do you make that decision of pushing the idea to an extent that is going to give you that success versus just beating your head against the wall?
Well, first of all, I do think you have to have a solid idea. And astrology, well, there are a lot of people who might say, oh, that would never work. So, but you've got to have a plan, and you've got to feel within yourself that, you know, the plan is going to work. And you can't be afraid to, you know, put it out there. You know, sometimes, you know, I write a lot of blogs, and sometimes I make predictions in those blogs, and I could be wrong. It's possible, but I believe I'm right. So, you know, you kind of have to take that step and move forward with it, and you're going to either be right or wrong, and you've got to believe in yourself enough to take small steps forward every day. And, you know, of course, I could say, you know, today, well, you know what, in 3 years, I think I want to be president. Chances are that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't have any kind of background in politics or anything like that. So,
well, strange things have happened before.
Strange things have happened. Boy, isn't that the truth. Strange things have happened before, but you know, you've got to have sort of an idea and a plan that's realistic, and you know, you've got to have some basis for believing you can do it, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to keep acting on it. And if sometimes things happen a little bit at a time, or, you know, it's like when I decided I was going to learn all about astrology in college and be able to read my chart. Well, it didn't work out because I guess I just wasn't in the mental place to really learn it. I didn't really have anybody, you know, to sit down with me and say, look, this is how it really works. Sometimes your timing can be off as well, and it can come back at a later date. It might be 10 years down the road, but it can happen.
Yeah, that's super helpful. I think like that, I don't know, there's that baseline threshold of, okay, your idea has to be good, but mm-hmm. also understand that there's more at play than just like, is it a good idea? Is it a good time? Do you have right. the skill set? Are you in a place where you can bring it forward or like can move it forward? Because a lot of exactly. times I think we get these ideas that there's a difference between a bad idea and a good idea. Like if I decide, hey, I'm going to start like a roller coaster park down the street, that's probably not a great idea. I don't have the resources for that or anything like that. But right. if it's, hey, I have this business idea and I've thought it through and it's a good idea, that could be a good idea, but do I have the capital? Do I have the connections? Do I have the bandwidth in my life to take that risk? Like there's so much going on, and maybe that's a good idea that you need to set aside and wait a few years, because that timing is so much like so important. Like there's so many great businesses that just started too early and right. now they're huge. But the first person that tried to start them, it was horrible for them because they were 10 years too early and everyone thought they were crazy. So I think exactly. that timing piece is really important.
I think it is too. And you've got to have a little bit of luck in your chart too. So you might want to talk to an astrologer about that.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about this idea that you shared about that everyone is fighting some sort of battle. And if we knew of their battles, we would likely feel far differently towards them, and they might feel differently towards us.
Right.
Could you just expound on that? Because that's something to me that I feel like I have to remind myself of that. I get really frustrated with people because it's like, hey, why are you being like obnoxious or hurting my feelings or whatever? And sometimes I can remember to be like, oh, maybe their dog got ran over today. I don't know.
Exactly. But
could you expound on that idea?
You know, I've done thousands of readings, and no matter how perfect somebody's life may seem or how successful they may seem, I've yet to meet a human being that doesn't have some kind of problem in their life, something they're trying to overcome. It could be, like you said, their dog could have gotten run over that day, hopefully not, or their parent could be facing a terminal illness, or maybe they just lost their job. There are usually reasons that people are difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, I really think that if we all knew just a little bit more about each other, I think people would be a lot kinder. And I think if you approach things from that standpoint, you can get a lot further.
Have you developed any, I guess, frameworks or thoughts around, or I guess like maybe tactics or tools for reminding yourself that, or like when you come across a scenario when you're about to get frustrated or upset with someone to kind of reset? Because I know for me, the difficulty is, okay, right now we can talk about this and I can think that's a good idea. And then I'm in traffic and someone cuts me off and I go like that fast and I'm upset. So do you have right. any tools or advice on how people can do that better?
You know, I've just learned, you know, there are people who call me and I do get frustrated, you know, like anybody else, especially if it seems like they're doing the same thing over and over again. But I just take a deep breath and sit back for a minute and say, well, you know, this is my job. And if they're still frustrated, maybe I'm not giving them, you know, what they call for. And I just maybe take a different kind of approach. I think you have to just, you know, have the ability to step back for 10 seconds, 5 seconds, and take a deep breath and give it another try.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I had this idea bouncing around my head and it kept escaping me, and I finally got it back. Okay. I would love to hear, so you worked in journalism and advertising, and then you finally made the jump to reading and to doing it full time. How did you make that decision? Like, how did you know when it was time to be done and to jump right in? I think a lot of people, they know they want to make a career change, or they know they want to start a business, but it can be really hard to leave the comfort of a secure job or of what they know and to try something new. So how did you make that decision?
Sometimes I think when it's really time to make a move, I think timing is everything. And I think in a way that maybe the universe will sort of, you know, give you some clues here and there. My contract in advertising was up. So, you know, Keene was available. Keene was there. And I actually had a friend who really encouraged me to join it. And I really didn't think it would work. But I thought, well, if I don't try, I'll never know. And I just decided, well, now seems the time is right to, you know, take the jump, see if it works. And I did. And the phone started ringing. And every month, you know, it rang more and more and more.
Yep.
And it sort of showed me that the time was right.
Totally. So kind of just right along that same train, it seems like making the jump from advertising and journalism to basically being a full-time astrologist, what skill did you have to learn to make that jump? Because I'm assuming that that's very different. Like, your day-to-day work is probably a lot different. Was there a skill that you had to learn that helped you be successful?
You know, I think there were several skills that I had to learn to be successful. The first one, when I started out in journalism and radio, especially journalism, you know, I was looking for answers. You're always looking for answers. And it sort of, you know, served me, you know, very well, because when I look at someone's chart, I'm looking for answers. It's obviously a different kind of answer, but it's really the same mental process in a way. You know, you're looking at things, is this possible? Is this, you know, kind of like that. So in many ways, as strange as it may sound, I did learn a skill there that I have to this day. In terms of advertising, I would say I just had to learn a lot more about people and sort of how they operate and how they think. And I dealt with a lot of business owners. And, you know, today I deal with a lot of business owners and people like that. So I kind of learned how they think. I just learned a lot about life in that field. So as strange as it may sound, I don't really think I could have had a better training ground.
That's really cool to hear, because like that's reassuring to me, and I hope to the listeners, because I think people think, well, I didn't get prepared for this, or I didn't go to school for this, or I didn't do it the standard way. But I know, like, I have friends that they were going down one route and it didn't work out how they wanted it to. So they got this other job, and then they got these great skills. And then now they have these great skills that they if you combine them, that it makes them so much more valuable in a job or in starting a business or something. And I think that to hear you say that, yeah, I didn't just study this and then do it. I had this interesting path of journalism, radio, and advertising, and that prepared me to do what I really wanted to do, is super reassuring.
Even though I didn't even know it.
Exactly, exactly. It's so much easier to connect the dots looking back to see that, oh, this was helping me out. But you have to have that kind of that hope in the moment that, well, you know what, if I'm working hard and I'm doing the right things, and I'm trying to learn, then it will work out. And I think that it's scary and hard to do that in the moment, but it does. It works out.
It does. And I think it pretty much works out that way ultimately for everybody. I think we end up where we're supposed to be.
Totally. And kind of last thing I want to talk about is, this is a scary time in the world for a lot of people. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of stress around life and what the world's going to be like even in a month or in a year. What help can somebody talking to you or somebody like you give, or what benefits are there to seeking out somebody like you?
Well, I think there's always, you know, a path in your chart. There's always a path to take, sometimes more than one. And sometimes I think you have to look at some of the alternative routes. Maybe you're not going to get the job you wanted, but there's something else, you know, there's something else over here in another direction in about a month or so. And be tuned into that and be aware, because, you know, something will always happen if you're trying to move forward in life. And I think it can be sort of a comforting type of thing to know that, you know, yes, your life is going to go on. You're not going to go down in flames. You know, the world is going to go on as far as that goes.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense to me. I appreciate you sharing that. Well, we are out of time. I would love to wrap up by just, can you let people know if they're interested in connecting with you, learning more from you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Keen.com, www.keen.com. And just look for me, Leslie Hale, and I'm not hard to find.
Awesome. Are you on social media or anything like that?
I am. I'm especially on Facebook. So feel free to, you know, look at my Facebook page, Leslie Hale Astrology.
Awesome. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. This was really enlightening for me. I've never chatted with an astrologist before, and I learned a ton, and I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yep, take care. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. You can check out Leslie's work at keen.com. Until next time, keep building.